And thank you so much. Good morning. We're on Daf Mem Aleph. May our learning be a merit. Lili Nishmas, Meirachai, Anachama Bracha, Bas David Mordechai. And we're dealing with the topic of Adam Oser Davar Sheino Shelo. Can a person prohibit an item that he doesn't own? So we saw the opinion of Rav Huna that Adam is Oser Davar Sheino Shelo. Person can prohibit something which is not his own if he does a bit of a maisa, a little bit of an act. So somebody who slaughters one pipe of somebody else's animal for avodah zarah, even though the other person doesn't want it to go for avodah zarah, it becomes an offering to avodah zarah, it becomes prohibited. However, let's start again. Rav Nachman and Rav Amram and Rav Yitzchak Amri, those three say, Ein adam oser davar sheino shelo. A person does not have the ability to prohibit what's not his own, even if he doesn't act on it. Amazfi, I'll challenge you. We learned yesterday, the Brisa says, if a person slaughters a chatas on Shabbos outside of the Beis HaMikdash for avodah zarah, he would have to bring three karbanos chatas. And then to try to figure out why it said this particular case, why a chatas, we said it was chatas ha'of, and it was a chatzi kanepagum, half of one pipe was already slit, and therefore in one act of adding a little hair worth to that incision, it's both shchutei chutz, as well as takroves avodah zarah, as well as slaughtering what you can't slaughter on a Shabbos. That's why it was all coming at once. But now, beginning today's daf, mem aleph mem aleph, avol zevach lo. But if it be an animal, it wouldn't be three chatos all at once, because by the time you slaughter one pipe, which is not yet a shechita, but it is a maisa, it already becomes takorvus avodah zarah, becomes avodah zarah. Once it becomes avodah zarah, it's all dust. So once it's dust, it's not going to be called shchutei chutz. It's not going to be an offering of a carbon outside. So you see that you can prohibit something which isn't yours. The ein adam oser davar sheino shelo. If these three amoraim are right, you can't prohibit what's not yours. So then, my iria chatasof. Why do you have to talk about chatasof? Afilu chatas beimanama. Talk about an animal. Because since you can't prohibit it, it doesn't become dust. Talk about an animal. And therefore, it would be, once you slaughter both pipes, that you have the three prohibitions all at once. The Gemara says, according to them, there's this far that we rejected, according to Rav Huna. Kevin the Kanyele Lekapara, since it's a chatas, which means it's going to give you atonement. These three Amoraim hold, Kedidei Dami, since it's going to give you atonement, it is yours. So once it's yours, Adam Oser, also, a person can prohibit it. Certainly right away. And that's why it couldn't be an animal. That's why it had to be a bird. That in the act of extending the incision, it's both shchita, and it is violation of Shabbos, and it is violation of the laws of Avodah Zarah. Tashma, maybe this will be a proof about this question. Does a person have the ability to prohibit what is not his own? We're saying now there's a view that says you cannot prohibit what's not your own, even when you do an action. So, Tashma Kamanir proof. We learned Shnayim Olzim Isak, and again, our Mishnah, two people holding the knife, the Shochtin, and they're Shochting together. Ech L'Shomech Mikol Eilu. One of them is saying, I'm doing it for the mountain, I'm doing it for the river, I'm doing it for, you know, any of those things that the Mishnah says you can't do. Ech L'Shom Davar Kasha. The other one is saying, I'm doing it just to make kosher food. Shchita Sopsul, the Shchita is no good. So you see that even though that guy doesn't own the animal, nevertheless, the fact that he has an intention, L'Shem Yamin, L'Shem Harim, or whatever those, L'Shem Naharos, it creates a it ruins it. So you see, Adam Oster, Davar Sheino Shelo. Somebody can ruin what's not his own. Well, so maybe there is his own. Maybe here, what are we dealing with? Maybe the guy who has the wrong thought is also a part owner of it. He has a partnership in this animal. So therefore, you don't see a proof that a person can prohibit what he does not own. So again, we're trying to prove this question. Does a person have the ability to prohibit what's not his own if he does a small act? Or do we say a person cannot prohibit, even with a full act, something which he does not own? Tashma, come and hear proof from the following. We learned in regards to the concept of hezek sheino nikar. The definition of damages is damages that are visible. I go into your house and I burn down your field. That's damage. But let's say something abstract happened because of me. Physically, the item looks whole. So So that's only damage midrabbanan. Rabbinically, they say you have to pay. And therefore, hametamei, let's say you have truma. And I take a dead rodent and drop my dead rodent on your truma. So it looks whole still. But now the truma halachically has to be burned, because now it's tamei. So I've ruined it, but it's not visibly ruined. Or hametamei, I take your truma and I drop your truma in a mixture. So now I had a barrel of wine, you had a barrel of wine, you could sell for 100. Now that I dropped some truma into your barrel of wine, you can only sell it for 20 because only Kohanim can buy it because it's a mixture of truma with regular wine. Only Kohanim can have it because non-Kohanim are not allowed to have the truma that's in the mixture. Or amenaseich, I take your wine and by mistake, I pour it for Avodah Zarah. So now it's still wine, but it now has the prohibition. You can't get any benefit from it because it was used for Avodah Zarah. So if he does these things b'shogeg, if he did any of these types of damages that are not visible damage, by mistake, since it's only a rabbinic form of damaging that has to pay, Patri doesn't have to pay. B'mezid, if he did it on purpose, Chayv, he has to pay. So what do you see? Presumably, I'm taking somebody else's wine. I'm taking somebody else's trumas. You see, even though it's not mine, at least by doing an act, I can create a prohibition. So I said, no, maybe not. Achanami, maybe this is also talking about here as well. This Leshutvas Begava, where he's not doing it to somebody else's wine, he's doing it to his own wine. He has a partnership in it. He owns a little bit of the wine. Someone else owns most of the wine. And since he has a share, that's why he can create a prohibition, because he's creating a prohibition on what is his, and then it can be extended also to what is not his. But maybe to create a prohibition, it has to be somewhat yours. The truth is, says the Gemara, 1 second, then we'll get to the question. This issue is kitanai. This issue is not an argument just between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, Rav Amram, and Rav Yitzchak. It's actually a machlokes tanaim. We learned in a braisa, Ovid Kochavim, a Gentile, Shenisech Yeno Shel Yisrael, who pours the wine of a non-Jew for Avodah Zarah, Shelo Bifnei Avodah Kochavim, not in front of an idol. Even so, Asro, according to the Tanakama, it created a prohibition. The wine is now, you can't get any benefit from it. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Matir and Oso, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava say that the wine is permitted. Mipnei shnei dvarim, for two reasons. Echa, number one, Jemenas tinyayin, Elo b'fnei avodas kochavim. Because they say it's only wine that's actually poured to an avodah zarah that becomes prohibited. Wine that's poured without an avodah zarah, without a statue there, doesn't become prohibited. Echa, and secondly, Sheyach alomarlo, the Jew can tell the non-Jew, you don't have the power to prohibit my wine and force that prohibition upon me. So here you have the argument. According to the first opinion, someone can prohibit someone else's property, even though with an action. According to the second opinion, someone cannot prohibit someone else's property, even with an action. Yeah, question.
Well, I think you answered this, but this is if he has any partnership in that goods there. Like,
and certainly he can create a prohibition. Everybody would agree, because then he's somewhat his.
But if he doesn't have partnership, he's responsible for damages?
Well, if there's no prohibition, there's no damage.
Why not?
Because they didn't create a prohibition. There was no damage. The item is still here.
But let's say he mixed up something with it, so he cannot sell it in a full price. Mm. Okay.
So again, that's what we're saying. You would have to pay if he did that. That's not a question of creating a prohibition, because that's just a mixture. Then, you know, as you said, since it's rabbinic damage, if it was b'mezid, he has to pay. If the shogeg, he doesn't have to pay.
Okay.
So now, Rav Nachman, Rav Amram, Rav Yitzchak Amri, Rav Nachman, Rav Amram, Rav Yitzchak, who hold that a person cannot prohibit someone else's property against their will. So they say, Rav Nachman, Rav Amram, Yitzchak say, Afilu Madamar Adam Osa Davar Shenu Shalo, even according to that Brisa, that someone else can, you know, a Gentile can take my wine and pour it for Avodah Zarah and make it prohibited to me. Ani Nili, that's only true, Kuti. It should be Nachri. Right? That's only true when it's not Jewish. Aval Yisrael, but maybe even those Tanaim agree that when it's a Jew doing it to another Jew, the second Jew does not prohibit it. Because let's say Uri Kamechavein, he's just trying to annoy his other Jew. No one would really want to go mess up another Jew. He just wants to upset him, to ruin his wine, to make it into Avodah Zarah wine. No, they don't mean that. It just means to mess up the other Jews. Is that really true? Tashma, can you really say that? That people who do things to each other are just trying to upset each other without really to create a prohibition? Well, think about our Mishnah. Shnayim olsim b'sakin, two people holding the knife. Presumably they're both Jewish. They're shochtin and they're shechting an animal. Echel l'shum echel nikol elu. And one of them says, I'm shechting for the mountain. And the other one, echel l'shum dover kosher. The other one says, no, I'm shechting just to make the food kosher. Shechita so psula. The shechita didn't work. Food's not allowed. You'll tell me that a Jew just wants to mess up another Jew. He's not really trying to create a prohibition. So Rashi says he could give the answer that we said before. He could give the answer we said before, namely that we're talking about a case where the guy owns a share in it. Yeah. Well, but since we're talking about a non-Jew, so we give a different answer. Okay, I can tell you the Mishnah's talking about a Jew who we know, unfortunately, is a heretic. He's converted to Christianity. He's changed his name. He became a rabbi for the Jews for JC congregation. So that's the type of Jew that we know does mean to mess it up. It's not just Litzure. Tashma, maybe this should be a proof. The same thing that we quoted before. Hametame, a person who makes somebody else's chumatame. Hametame, a person who mixes somebody else's chuma with somebody else's wine. I'm an aseich, a person who takes somebody else's wine and pours it for idols. Bishogig, if he does it by mistake, since it's non-visible damage. Potter, he's exempt from paying. Bimezid, if he did it on purpose. Chayiv, he has to pay, because rabbinically they make him obligated to pay. So you see that a Jew does mess up things for somebody else. It's not just to annoy him. When he was menaseich, we said it's bimezid, it's a problem. Why is it a problem? It's just let's see come chav. He's just trying to annoy him. He doesn't even mean to serve idols. It shouldn't become avodah zarah in any way. So the answer is no. Hachanam, you be yisrael mumer. Here we're talking about a Jew who's a missionary for the wrong team, and that's what we're talking about. Amalei Rav Acha, braid the rebel Rav Ashi. Rav Acha, the son of Rava, said to Rav Ashi, "Hisru bo v'kibul atzva v'kibul avasramai." What would you say about a guy who we warn him? We say, hey, don't pour that wine of Yaakov to Avodah Zarah because there's an aveir of worshipping idols. You deserve skila for worshipping idols. And he says, as we learned in Masechet Sanhedrin, he says, I'm doing it to get skila. Come on. Give it to me. And I'm doing it. Amar Leh. So he said, listen, Hitzer Atzma L'Nisa, a guy who says, I'm willing to do it to get killed. Then you know he really means it. Then he does mean for Avodah Zarah. There's no greater mummer, there's no greater rebel than a guy like that. Certainly he meant for Avodah Zarah. Then he does create a prohibition. Okay, next Mishnah. Ein shochtin. So now dealing with rabbinic laws again. The last Mishnah dealt with the rabbinic law that if it was slaughtered to a mountain, even though the mountain doesn't become Eloheihem, because Eloheihem, Alei Harim, Elohei Harim, Eloheihem. On the mountains you have their gods. Their gods are not the mountains. Nevertheless, Rabbanan, it's prohibited because it looks like something slaughtered to Avodah Zarah. So now some more Rabbanan laws. Don't do things that look like Avodah Zarah. You can't slaughter to the river, into the river. You can't slaughter into oceans. You can't slaughter the blood into vessels because it looks like Avodah Zarah. If you slaughter into vessels, people think he's slaughtering to catch the blood and then throw it for Avodah Zarah. I will show you the toch uga shalmayim, but he is allowed to slaughter into a pit of water. Ubisvina, even though we said he can't slaughter into a vessel, if you're on the top of a boat, algabe kalim, you're allowed to slaughter because you don't want it to go onto the floor of the boat. So you can slaughter on top of vessels and let it drop from the vessels out into the ocean. Ain't shochin leguma kol ikar. You can never slaughter into a hole. Slaughtering into a hole looks like Avodah Zarah. That's the way the Ovdei Avodah Zarah used to do. They would worship the holes. That you can't do. Now, if you don't want there to be a mess, as the Gemara will explain, avalos agum besoch beso. You can make a hole in your house. B'shul shikan es adam besochas, so that the blood will go into the hole. B'shuk lo yasakim, but don't do that in the market. Shlo yachakes atzdukim, so that you not strengthen the ways of the Sadducees, the ways of those who worship idols, who make holes and they slaughter into holes. As if you make a hole in the market, it looks like you're also acting like them and you're part of their misbehavior.
But if it's a water in the hole, it's okay. It's
right. No, it's even worse.
That it was okay.
You can't slaughter. Water, no? Oh,
And the ocean was okay.
Yeah, Uga Shomayim. No, the ocean's not okay. The river's not okay. Uga Shomayim. A puddle of water is okay. A puddle of water is okay. You can't slaughter into oceans, into rivers. So why is it that you can't slaughter into an ocean? Because it's going to look, people are going to say he's slaughtering to the angel of the oceans. He's slaughtering to the angel of the oceans. It looks like Avodah Zarah. That's what the people who worship the angel of the oceans would slaughter their animals directly into the oceans. So one second. Now Baruch's point, the Tohuga Shalmayim Nami. So if somebody slaughters into a puddle, maybe people are going to say, Lebubuah Kashachit. He's slaughtering for his own reflection. Because in the puddle he sees himself and he worships himself. So he's slaughtering the animal to himself, to the god that's him, like Paro worshipped himself. Leo Riva Niasitini. To me is the Nile I made myself, Paro says. He's worshipping himself. Amarava, we're talking about Bachurim Shanu. And the Mishnah says you can slaughter into a puddle, it has to be dirty waters. Because if it's clear waters, then there's a reflection, and people are going to think he's slaughtering for himself. But to dirty waters, that would be okay. Then the Mishnah says, Ain Shochtin Laguma, you can't slaughter into a hole at all. And you can make a hole in the house. So Gemara asks, Amar, but you just said in Shochtin Laguma Klal, you said you can't slaughter into a hole at all. So what do you mean you can make a hole in the house? Amar Abai said like this. Reisha Beguma Shabashuk. The beginning that says you can't slaughter into a hole is talking about a hole in the market. And you can't slaughter into a hole at all. However, the end is talking about a hole in the house. Amle Rav, Rav said, Vamidik Sani Sefer. But then after talking about you could make a hole in the house, it then goes again and says again, Uvashuk Lo Yasakin. But in the market you shouldn't do so. That means at the beginning was not talking about a market. So therefore, it was like this. Okay, this is what it means. You're never allowed to slaughter directly into a hole. In the market, in the house, you can never slaughter directly into the hole. However, but now, a guy wants to clean his courtyard. What's he going to do? He can't slaughter the blood into the hole. So now he's going to slaughter the blood onto the floor. It's going to be a mess. How's he going to get the blood off of the floor? So what he does like this. Osem makom chutz laguma. He digs a hole. Then he moves a little bit away from that hole. And a little bit away from that hole, that's where he slaughters. So when he slaughters, it's going to flow into the hole. It's not slaughtering into the hole. He's slaughtering out of the hole, but in a place where it's sloping into the hole. This shochet, then he slaughters in that place a little bit away from the hole. The dam shows his viyorid laguma and the blood dribbles out and comes down into the hole. However, Vashuk in the market, Lo Yasakein, he's not even allowed to do that. Shalo Yechakes Atzdukin, because that already can look like the ways of the Gentiles and the heretics. And they're going to say he's not doing that because of cleanliness, because as was pointed out here in the Masifta Gemaras, nobody cares about the cleanliness of the street. Nobody's the altruist to clean the street. They're going to say, oh, why is he having holes? It's a Avodah Zarah. Tanya Kavasadi Rav, we have a Brice, in fact, like Rav. Hi, Malik Masfina. If a guy is traveling on a boat, doesn't have place on the boat to sheft, because if he shefts on the boat, it's going to make a mess. So what does he do? Motzi Yad Chutz Lasfina. So he puts his hands outside of the boat. And the blood can come down on the walls of the boat and then from there into the ocean. And that's not called slaughtering into the ocean. Because that's not slaughtering into the ocean. That's just slaughtering in a way to avoid the boat from getting dirty. That doesn't look like, everybody knows he's doing that just to avoid the boat from getting dirty. They don't think he's worshipping idols. Then the Brisa continues and says you can't slaughter to a hole at all. But if somebody wants to clean his courtyard, what does he do? He makes the place outside of the hole. The shochet in that place, he slaughters. And there's a little slope from that place to the hole. And the blood then flows down into the hole. In the market, even that he shouldn't do. Because the verse says, don't go in the ways of the Gentiles. If he did go in the ways of the Gentiles, we need a check. We need to see. Maybe he is a heretic like them. You know, what's he doing? As we learned back in Masechet Brachos. Someone who goes in the ways of the Gentiles, we need to check him. A guy who says, I can't daven for the yom because I'm not wearing white. So what's going on? You could wear daven for the yom if you wear black. There's something crazy. Maybe he's a heretic of some sort. So we have to check. People who do things that look like the ways of the Gentiles, we need to check them. We do not do in our, as the Rishonim explained, our religious practices should not be copied from the Gentiles. You know, a guy goes to some evangelical church and he sees the way they do it. He says, you know what, I'm gonna bring that into our shul. We're gonna reimagine our shul the way they do it in the church. We can't. We can't go in the ways of the Gentiles. Okay, but even without the issues of Kisi Adam, just that the Shechita looks like their avoda, their service. Okay, Mem Aleph Amud Beis. Hashochet L'Shem Ola. A person who slaughters a carbon for an Ola. So this is again a Din D'Rabbanan. A guy has his chulin animal, and when he slaughters it, he says, I'm slaughtering it as an Ola.
He's not in the temple.
He's not in the temple.
Okay.
L'shem Zvachim, where he says, I'm slaughtering it as a Shlamim. L'shem Asham Tali, as an Asham Tali. An Asham Tali is the carbon that's brought when you're not sure if you did an Aveir or not. You're not sure if what you ate was Chelev or Shuman. So you bring an Asham Tali to hold the punishment in abeyance until you can know what you did, and then you might bring a full Chatas if you did the wrong thing. L'shem Pesach, he's slaughtering his animal as a carbon Pesach. L'shem Toda, he's slaughtering it as a carbon Toda. So then Shchitas Opsula. Again, Midra Abban, the Shchita is no good. Because people are going to say, during the Shechita, he made it a Shlamim. During the Shechita, he made it into a Toda. And then they're going to think that you can slaughter, and if you can eat it, they're going to think that when you slaughter a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash, you can eat the things outside, because they think this was a carbon. And that's not true. If you slaughter a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash, you can't get any benefit from it, as we're going to see many times in this Masechta. So therefore, Midr Abanan, this Shechita is possible. This was not a carbon, this was Chulin. And he just did the Shechita as a Shechita's carbon. But nevertheless, since it looks like a carbon, the whole thing becomes puzzle. However, Rabbi Shimon Machshir, Rabbi Shimon says, it is kosher. It's not a carbon. It's not a carbon. Yeah, today it's very late when we could first put on tefillin, only 6:26. But you're invited to join us here, learning the Rabbanan disqualifications of Shechita. So if a person has a carbon, not a carbon, he has a regular animal, it's chulin. Yeah. But when he puts the knife to the neck, then he says, this is the shechita of Ola, this is the shechita of Toda, this is the shechita of Shlamin. So since people might think that at that moment he made it into a carbon, even though he didn't, he just said that the shechita was the shechita of a carbon, therefore, according to the Chachamim, it's no good. And Rabbi Shimon says, it's still good. All right, so now what we learned in two Mishnayos ago. Shnai Moslem Misakim V'Shoftim. Let's say you have two people holding the knife, doing the Shechita together. Echel L'Shem, Echel L'Kolelu. One says, I'm shechting it as Shechita Shlamin. The other one says, Echel L'Shem Davar Kashim. But I'm just shechting to make it kosher. That's right. Shechita Sopsula. The Shechita's no good. All right, this is all, good morning. This is all in regards to these Karbanos. But Ashochem L'Shem Chatas. Someone takes an animal of chulin and he says, my shechita is a shechita of chatas. L'shem asham, my shechita is a shechita of a regular asham, namely a guy who swore falsely, a shomer swore falsely, then he admitted that he swore falsely about somebody else's money. He has to bring a carbon asham to get an atonement. Asham vada, l'shem, or someone's mo behektish. L'shem b'chor, he says, this is the slaughtering of a b'chor. L'shem meiser, this is the slaughtering of meiser behema. L'shem tmura, this is a slaughtering of a tmura carbon. Tmura is when you have a carbon and you try to say this other animal should replace it. And both become holy. Both stay holy. In these cases, shechita suk sheir, the shechita is kasher. As Rashi explains, it's kasher. Why? May the yadi de shekeru. No one's going to think, oh, you can slaughter carbonos outside and eat them. They'll know it's a lie when he says, I'm slaughtering it as b'chor. The b'chor or meiser may the yadi mikamiyachi. You know if something's b'chor or meiser before you get to the shechita. Once you're shechting, that's not the moment when you can make it b'chor or ma'aser, the name of Hashem, that you can say, now he's making it holy. So therefore everybody knows it's not holy. It's just, okay, you're saying a shechita of kachim, but the animal's not kachim. They're not going to think that you can eat kachim that were slaughtered outside.
Okay.
That cloud is the rule. All those types of sacrifices that could be donated. So if they could be donated, hashochet lishmo, if somebody's slaughtering for their sake, then usur, then it's prohibited, because we're worried that people are going to think that he's donating it at that moment, and that people are going to think that a carbon slaughtered outside the Beis HaMikdash could still be eaten. So that's why it becomes prohibited. Midra Abanan. However, Shainu Nida Venida, but something which cannot be donated anyway, it's imposed, like a chatas. You can't donate a chatas. So then everybody would know, either he did the Naver and he needed a chatas, or he didn't. He didn't. He was a human animal. So certainly when he says he's shechting it as chatas, it's meaningless. Hashochel Lishmo kasher. When he shechts it for the sake of chatas, it is still kasher.
What do you mean kasher?
It's a kosher shechita.
But
we
allowed to eat it?
Yeah, it's a kosher shechita, absolutely.
He mentioned that
he's
yeah.
But the guy who doesn't own it.
No, he owns it too.
This is the guy owning it now.
No, I know, but the one that doesn't own it. Okay. And it does whatever he wants it
yeah.
to do. He has no right to do it anyhow.
That's
so
true.
They should ignore it anyhow. He's not the owner. So whatever he says, I'm doing this shech for this class, whatever he says.
Okay,
like,
you like the view of Rav Amram, but Rav Huna...
You, know, so,
right. you like the view of Rav Amram, but Rav Huna disagreed. Rav Huna disagreed.
Exactly. Unless the owner tells him yet to say that.
Okay.
Not, then
okay.
a different story.
I understand the Hashem Bachar, Meiser, Tmur, because the person is not confused, but Rav Chapas and Hashem Bada, the person could bomb. I mean, he could be saying at this moment in time. This is now, it's not predestined already. You know, like a bachor or a miser. Meaning, we're not concerned about those things because the person doesn't have the power to change it. Right? It already was a bachor or wasn't a bachor. So we're not concerned about it and prohibited. But a chatas or an asham, the person decides, I made a sin, I have to bring this now.
Maybe, yeah. But apparently, he would have said it earlier. He wouldn't do it just at the moment of shechita. But you're right, right? Why couldn't he say, now it's a chatas? That's true. I guess the thought is he would have said it earlier that it's a chatas, not now at the shechita. All right, the Mishnah says Hashochet l'shem ola. Now, or asham tali. So the Gemara asks, one second, asham tali bar nida bar nidavu, is that something which could be donated? You either maybe did a sin or maybe didn't do the sin. So Rabbi Yochanan said, Amani Rabbi Lazar. Yes, this is the view of Rabbi Lazar. He says every day a person may have done sins. Every day he could say, I'm bringing another asham tali to suspend the sins that I may have done. One second, Pesach. Bar nida bar nidavu. Is Pesach something you can donate? Zimna kvila. It has a set time. Erev Pesach. Amar Voshai. Voshai answered, Shiny Pesach. Hol v'afreshasa kol hashana kula. You could separate it as a Pesach the whole year. You'll only bring it later. Amar Rabbi Yana said, Lo shana ala tamimim. That's only true about animals that are whole. Aval bali muim. But let's say a guy has a blemished animal and he's slaughtering the blemished animal and saying that he's doing it as a shlamim, as an ashram tali, as a Pesach. Everybody knows it's not really that it's going to be a carbon, because you can't offer a blemished animal as a carbon, so then everybody knows that it's chulin. If everyone knows that it's chulin, it would be kosher. Rabbi Yochanan said, no, afilu bali mum inami. Even if he's slaughtering a bal mum as a carbon, it now becomes disqualified rabbinically, because zimna derami le midi amum avalo yediyah. Because sometimes a person has a blemished animal that he's trying to bring a carbon, he doesn't realize that it has a blemish. So that people will think, yeah, if he said shlamim, he's making it a shlamim now, even though it has a blemish. He's not aware of the blemish. All right, the Mishnah says, Ashokhi l'shem chatas. So this gets into David's question. Somebody slaughters an animal as a chatas. I'm Rabbi Yochanan said, Loshana, we're only talking about Loshana Mukhuyev chatas. A guy doesn't have to bring a chatas. I'm Mukhuyev chatas, but if he'd done something which makes him obligated to bring a chatas, as David said, when he's slaughtering an animal, he says, I'm doing it as a chatas, they're going to think that he made it into a chatas right now. So Gemara says, no, but no one's going to think he's going to say that he made it into a chatas. Because then you'd have to say, L'shum chatasi, v'alo kam l'shem chatasi. But he's not saying, for the sake of my chatas. The Mishnah said, he said, for the sake of chatas. That sounds like for a vow of a chatas. Rav Avo said, okay, say, b'om l'shem chatasi. If he says, for the sake of my chatas, then it would be a problem if he really owes a chatas. L'shem t'mura, again, l'shem t'mura is okay. Amr Blazer said, L'shana, that's only true. L'shem l'zevach b'soch beso. If he doesn't have another carbon in his house, then he could make a t'mura of it. But if he has a carbon in his house and he says about this animal of chulin, I'm slaughtering it as a tmura. Ema, why don't we say, Emuri Amirba, people are going to say he's doing a tmura right now. And you see that even though it's holy as tmura, it could be slaughtered outside and still eaten. People are going to think that shkutei chutz could be eaten. So, what do you mean? Why would anyone think that it's a tmura? He doesn't say as an exchange for my carbon. Said the law of when he says I have a carbon, it's in exchange for my carbon. Then the Mishnah says a rule. If at the moment of shechita he's saying for the sake of something which could be donated, we think he's donating it. People are going to think he's donating it right then, and people are going to think that you could eat a sacrifice that was slaughtered outside, and therefore the shechita becomes no good. What's that to include? You say this is the rule. Olas nazir, to include a guy who's a nazir. And he says, for the sake of Olas Nazir. Ma'udetema would have thought to say, hello, Nadar. But he has not made the vow of Nazirus. So he's not a Nazir. A man is not a Nazir. But he just says this for the sake of an Ola of a Nazir. So I would think, but he didn't make a vow of Nazirus. Everybody knows that therefore it's nothing. It's just Hulin. The answer is no. Amar, people are going to think, Nadar Betzina. Maybe he made the vow, but he did it in private. It takes 30 days. I think, okay, so 30. He has 30 days here of growth. And they're going to think he is a Nazir. Then the Mishnah says, that which is not normally donated, if he says I'm slaughtering for the sake of those things, it does not, it's not a problem. Why? What's that to include? Olas Yolades, an Ola brought by a woman who gave birth. Amr Belezer said, Lo Shanu Elo She'en Lo Isha. If a guy says I'm slaughtering this animal of Chulin as Olas Yolades, it's fine if he doesn't have a wife. Avo Yesh Lo Isha, but if he has a wife, Em Lishmahu Osa, maybe he's doing it for her. So Gemara says, I have a low karma l'shem olas ishti, but it says, l'shem olas yoledes. He doesn't say, I'm doing it for the sake of the ola of my wife. So I'm rebavo, b'omer l'shem olas ishti. If he says, I'm doing it for the sake of the ola of my wife. Shita, this is all obvious. So Gemara says, now the king would have to say, imisa di yalda, if he had a wife who had actually given birth, kava havale, we would have all heard about it. There would have been a reputation about it. Hamash malan, so that's the chiddush. Maybe nobody heard about it because Amar, people are going to say to themselves, Apuli apil, we didn't hear that his wife gave birth because his wife had a miscarriage. So that's what we didn't hear. We were embarrassed to talk about it, but really she did give birth. And therefore, maybe it is an olas yolades. And if we're going to allow people to eat it, they're going to think that shchute chutz, a carbon that's slaughtered outside, could be eaten. So that's why, in such a case, we would not allow it. Neither Rabbanan, it's not allowed. So again, the key rule is that when you have an animal of chulin, an animal that's not holy, and it's being slaughtered as holy, so then we might be worried that he's making it holy. People will think he was making it holy at the moment of slaughtering, and they're going to think that something which is holy, which is slaughtered outside, could still be eaten. So then rabbinically, we do not allow it to be eaten outside. Okay, again, the earliest time for the brach on talis and tefillin is 6:26. So we'll begin the davening, and then we'll get to talis and tefillin.